I sat down on a limb and glanced around. What were those large humps sitting on the limb beside me? I could just barely see them in the darkness, but I managed to count two of them. No, three. Four? Holy cats, there was a whole line of these large dark forms perched on the limb. I cut my eyes from side to side. What was going on here? After a moment of deep thought, I dared to reach out a paw and touch. And suddenly, I heard a voice. It said,
"That tickles. Are you a buzzard?"
To which I said, "Why, yes, of course. Yes, I am definitely a buzzard. How about yourself?"
"Oh, yeah. I've been a buzzard most of my life."
"Same here. It's a good way to make a living, isn't it? And a good wholesome lifestyle, I guess you'd say."
"Oh, yes. We're very proud, me and Pa. Have you met my Pa?"
Wait, I recognize that voice. It was Junior. Quickly, I tried to cover for myself. "No, I don't think we've met. I'm new here. Just flew in from Abilene."
"You want to meet my Pa? I can wake him up."
Just then, a loud hacksaw voice cut through the silence. "You already did, Junior, so y'all don't need to whisper and tippy-toe, 'cause you've already woke up me and half the buzzards in the panhandle."
Good.
"What's good about it? Sleeping's good, son. Waking up is the pits. I did a hard day's work today, and when I come home to the roost, I expect to sleep, not listen to a bunch of chatterboxes talking about nothing and waking up the whole tree."
"Pa?"
"What?"
I want to introduce you to my new friend, a new friend."
"Have you figured it out?" I'd climbed up into a tree that happened to be the local buzzard roost, and it appeared that there were dozens of them. Buzzards, that is. The tree was full of big black sleeping buzzards, including Wallace and Junior. Pretty scary, huh? Well, Wallace leaned forward and looked at me. In the pale moonlight of the moon, I saw just enough of him to get a description. Ugly. Very ugly. He spoke.
"Name's Wallace."
"Okay. Hi, Wallace. How's life?"
"Life's hard. That's why we sleep at night."
He's from Abilene, Pa.
"Huh. Don't they believe in sleeping down there? And I'll tell you something else, Junior. He looks like some kind of freak to me."
"Pa, hush."
"Well, it's true, ain't it?"
"He's different is all."
Wallace leaned forward again and scowled at me.
"That's the only buzzard I ever seen with ears."
"Well, that's just the way they dress down at Abilene."
"That ain't dress, son, that's equipment. Show me a buzzard with ears and I'll show you."
All at once, Wallace looked down at the ground below.
"Junior, son, I don't want to scare you, but there's somebody down at the base of this tree. Reckon you ought to swoop down there and check it out?"
Junior rocked forward and looked down.
No, I don't think so."
"Who do you reckon they are?"
"Well, I'd say maybe they're coyotes."
There was a long moment of silence, and in the silence we could hear sounds drifting up from below. The tramping of feet, the low rumble of voices, and an occasional burst of harsh laughter. I got the feeling that Wallace was staring at me.
"Hey, you with the ears, Abilene. How would you like to go down there and tell them rowdies to shove off and take their noise to some other tree? Because if you don't, we're liable to be up all night, and I've got a big date tomorrow.
At that very moment, our conversation was interrupted by a loud voice from down below, and I must admit that it sent a cold chill through my entire body.
Coyote get strong smell of dog. Follow strong smell to tree. Coyote think dog hiding up in treetop.
Wallace and Junior exchanged worried glances. Then Wallace said,
Son, we have barbarians at the gate.
The old man glared down at the coyotes.
Now y'all boys better knock off the noise and go on home. We're trying to sleep up here.
Coyote not give a hoot for sleep. Want dog from treetop.
We ain't got a dog. Dogs don't live in trees, and if y'all keep on making all that racket, you're fixing to learn something about buzzards you really don't want to know.
This was greeted with a chorus of hooting and laughing, and all at once the tree began to shake. It appeared that the coyotes were headbutting the tree, if you can believe that, which gives you some idea of just how tough those guys were. Then we heard the voice again.
Coyote get tired and tiredest of waiting. Maybe tear down whole tree and find dog for eat.
Wallace puffed himself up.
Hoss, I'm a-running out of nice ways of telling y'all to scram out of here.
Wallace heaved a sigh and shook his head.
Okay, y'all have asked for it and begged for it, so you're fixing to get it.
You know what he did? He leaned out over the limb and proceeded to throw up on the cannibals. That's what buzzards do when they get mad, don't you know? And it's... We don't need to go into the chilling details about the molecular structure of what went down on top of their heads. It was too awful to describe. Fellas, you talk about something that'll kill a party. That did it. A moment of eerie silence followed as poisonous fumes and vapors spread through the airwaves. Then, an explosion of screams and shouts, the crashing of brush, and the thunder of footsteps fading into the night. Then, silence. Wallace sniffed his nose and rubbed his belly.
Dadgum rowdies. That was the best skunk I'd eaten in months.
He turned to us.
Well, you reckon we can get some sleep now?
He fanned the air with his wing.
Shoo! Them coyotes need to take a bath once in a while. Night, y'all.
Night, Pa, and nice work.
I didn't say a word. I was having trouble just breathing. I didn't figure I'd ever get to sleep, and if I ever did, I was pretty sure I'd end up falling out of the tree. But somehow it all worked out, and the next thing I knew, it was dawn. What woke me up was the sound of singing. I know, that sounds odd, but when my eyes popped open, I found myself looking at one of the most peculiar scenes you can imagine. A whole tree full of big black birds, all singing the same chant in unison. It went like this.
Morning sun and morning light, fading stars and fading night, diamond dew frost sparkling grass, yellow sun rays have come at last. Warms the sun and stills the air, comes a darkness everywhere. Hills in purple shadows sprawl, haze and fogginess cover all. Thanks we give for peaceful sleep, for a day in which to reap crystal air and endless sky, and for the wings that let us fly. Spread we now our feathered wings, soaring soft and silent rings. May this day bring us success, finding a cure for hungriness. Morning sun and morning light, fading stars and fading night, diamond dew, frost, sparkling grass, yellow sun rays have come at last. Warms the sun and stills the air, calms the darkness everywhere. Hills and purple shadows sprawl, haze and fogginess cover all. Thanks we give for peaceful sleep, for a day and for a day in which to read crystal air and in the sky, and for the wings that let us fly. Spread we now our feather queen, soaring soft and silent free. May this day bring us success, finding a cure for hungriness.
Pretty strange, huh? I thought so. And when they finished the song, they all spread their big black wings, pushed off their respective limbs, and soared off into the morning sky until there were only three of us left in the tree. Me, Wallace, and Junior. I began to realize that Wallace was glaring at me. Let me tell you, that's a bad way to start the morning, with a buzzard glaring at you.
Junior, wake up and look at your so-called friend. You said he was a buzzard from Abilene? Just happened to be wearing a pair of ears? Ha! Wake up and you'll see what I tried to tell you last night, but you wouldn't listen and never do.
Junior yawned and blinked his eyes at me.
Oh my goodness, it's our doggy friend.
I gave him a nod. Morning, Junior.
Well, doggy, we have to go to work, and hunt some grub.
Well, glory be! I'd begun to wonder if you planned to order in a pizza. Let's get airborne, son. We're already behind.
Wallace spread his wings and flapped away. Junior smiled, waved the tip end of his wing, and flew away, leaving me all alone in the tree. I jumped to the ground and trotted the last 3 miles to ranch headquarters. I was feeling pretty good about things. It was a beautiful morning. I had managed to dodge the cannibals and survive another night. And we mustn't forget that I'd had a big fling in town and had even managed to pull my friend Ralph through a deep personal... Wait a second. Hold everything. Remember that story Ralph told me about how the two bullies stole the weenies from him? Well, in the middle of the night, I woke up and realized that my restless mind had been working on that very case, even as my body got some well-deserved slumber. The pieces of the puzzle suddenly fell into place, and you just won't believe what I figured out. Here, look at the evidence. Evidence 1. Ralph burped, remember? And I smelled garlic. Evidence 2. He burped again, and I smelled garlic again. Evidence 3. Weenies are known to contain a lot of garlic. Evidence 4. When Ralph walked away, I noted that he was fat and shaped like a weenie. Do you see it now? You missed it the first time around, didn't you? Well, he didn't fool me. Not for a... Okay, he fooled me. The scrounge ate all my weenies, and I believed his silly, outrageous, unbelievable story. But the important thing here was that I had learned a valuable lesson on life. Never trust your lunch with a jailhouse mutt. That had made the whole experience phooey. Case closed. See you down the road.